Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
Trust is the foundation of any good relationship. And quite frankly, it is absolutely essential for a successful marriage. So what happens when that trust is broken? Many people believe that betrayal is both inexcusable and insurmountable. The devastation is very real and often overwhelming. It can be hard just to catch your breath, let alone consider a future with the person responsible for all of your pain. And in addition, your friends and family might tell you that it can't be fixed, that you deserve better. But you might be surprised when you find it harder to end your marriage than you thought. In a recent episode, I talked to Jay Pyatt. He shared the perspective of the partner who did the betraying. And today, his wife, Lori Pyatt, a betrayal trauma-trained certified partner and couples mentor, is here to tell the other side. So, Lori, thank you so much for coming on and really giving voice to, I think, a position that often people don't even know exists.
Right. Yeah, it is kind of a boys will be boys type of situation. But first, I want to thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate it. Jay really enjoyed the interview he had with you. So thank you.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and I know that a lot of people make, you know, before they get married or in a relationship, they in their minds go, well, if this ever happens, it's done. And then the worst happens, and it's a lot more complicated than people realize. And because there are so many, I mean, yes, the pain is real, the betrayal is real, and on some level, the idea is, okay, let's just end it. But that's always more complicated, and a lot of people don't realize that it can actually be fixed.
Yeah, exactly. It can be fixed. Definitely, there are things that need to be in place. You can kind of figure out how much hope there is early on to see how much humility is there from the beginning. But it can definitely be fixed.
So, what were some of the thoughts and feelings that you had when you became aware that your husband had betrayed you? I mean, was it an all at once kind of thing, or was it
kind of like
things aren't adding up? Or
right. Let me be clear about what the betrayal was. My husband, even when we were dating, early on in our dating lives, he said that he had an addiction to pornography for many, many years. He was really trying to kick it. He was having difficulty kicking it at that point, but he thought that marriage would solve the problem. You know, when we started talking about marriage, he assured me that it would take care of the problem because it wasn't a problem in his first marriage under certain conditions. And so I was like, okay, well, that's something for me to consider, but I really wrestled with it. Because somehow, I think instinctively we know, yeah, boys might be boys in that regard. But number one, if he can't control himself around it, then how can I expect him to control himself around a cute little secretary that starts working with him? Or, you know, that sort of thing. I think instinctively we know it's kind of supposed to lead to a physical affair, you know. And biologically it turns out that it is, because there's a thing called prolactin that gets released when a man is with a woman he loves and has an orgasm with her. The prolactin gets released, and that lowers his testosterone. But if he doesn't love the woman, or if he's having solo sex, then the prolactin never gets released and his testosterone gets high. Therefore, he's never or stays high. Therefore, he's never satisfied. Therefore, it needs more and more and more maybe taboo forms of pornography or further, you know, acting out in different ways in order to satisfy him. So I think instinctively I knew that it could lead to an affair. So I really wrestled with it. But again, I, you know, latched onto my faith and prayed really hard, and I felt like it was the way to go. And plus he had mentioned to me that it wasn't a problem in his first marriage. So I thought we'd be good. But to answer your question, so you know, that kind of gives the background. Then at 2 years, 3 years, and 5 years, I asked him about it and kept asking because something felt off. And
right.
Each time he confessed. There was one time he confessed on his own. And each time it got worse. It went from being just porn to a little bit of interest at people with people or women at work,
uh-huh.
to even more interest, to a little bit of interaction and him seeking affairs. He never had a physical affair, but, you know, I could definitely see the writing on the wall. So by the time this last, what I called B-Day, happened, it was 10 years, or 15 years into our marriage. And I had done it the quote-unquote right way. I had tried to have more faith. I had tried not to mm-hmm. be codependent. I tried to do all the things that I was quote-unquote supposed to.
Right.
But this reveal or this D-Day was different in that he immediately showed in kind of a lack of humility when he was answering the questions, but he also made it about me. He said,
right.
the reason I did this was because you don't, you know, he made it about me, the way I look, the way I put myself out there. And that really stung. It really stung. And so I really
And that's not an unusual thing for people to do, which, as you're talking about, makes it worse.
Right. Right, absolutely. That's actually another betrayal. It's like,
yes.
Instead of him just going, yeah, I screwed up again, help me come up with a plan, or I have a plan to get help, or help me come up with a plan to get help, because I really don't want this. He made mm-hmm. it about me, and that was a bigger betrayal. You know, I always say that there are three levels of pain or three levels of destruction, and if you imagine like an iceberg, the part that's sticking out, the 10% sticking out,
mm-hmm.
is just the pornography or the sexual acting out. The
uh-huh.
second layer underneath that, that's much bigger than the first layer, that's the lies and the hidden life. The third layer, where we start going insane, is everything else. It's making it about us. It's saying, well, I can basically hurt you however I want, but you can't do anything about it. In fact, I don't even want to talk about it. It's, you know, kind of whatever
wow.
it takes to get us to shut up. That's everything else. And that's where we start going insane. The first two levels we don't like.
Right, they're bad enough, yeah.
Starts to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's
so, yeah, that
interesting. That's a really interesting viewpoint about it, because that's where a lot of it, you know, because a lot of people will, you know, when asked by their partner, it's like, okay, what's going on? Oh, nothing. You're imagining things, blah, 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 which that's bad enough. But then when they turn around and say, well, because you did X,
right.
I did this. And it's like,
right.
whoa, wait a
right.
minute.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't go there. Yeah,
yeah. I always say, you know, okay, that I might have had a role in our disconnections, but
mm-hmm.
there was a point where you could have dealt with that. You could have taken me to marriage counseling. You could have kept trying to take me to marriage counseling. You could have actually shown up
mm-hmm.
in marriage counseling I took you to. You know, you
right.
could have addressed it then, because we did try those things. It didn't really go over well with him, but that window of opportunity has passed. You went outside the relationship. Now we have a much bigger problem,
yes.
a much bigger problem that does put my brain into a state where I'm not going to be able to do it the right way until you show up safe for me. Because that safety piece was out the window. I did not feel safe with him at all. And once you get into that, you start getting into PTSD-type symptoms and
mm-hmm.
brain patterns, brain thinking patterns and stuff. And it's very, very difficult for a woman to address her issues when she's in that state. Now, here's the kicker, though. That first 15 years, I was doing everything I could, everything
mm-hmm.
I could to address my issues.
Mm-hmm.
I had dealt with my codependency. It worked in every relationship except for this one where we were supposed to be interdependent.
Yeah, very interesting. So how did you work through this third deeper level of betrayal and pain to come up with a decision of how you were going to move forward with this?
First, I took 3 days and just prayed and got on my knees and basically told God, if I'm staying, I've got to do this differently.
Okay.
I've got to, because I've tried this other stuff, this being the good little Christian girl, didn't work.
It right, you taking yeah, you taking on responsibility for his stuff, which it's like, don't do that.
Yep.
I mean, I mean, and that's not to say we shouldn't be the best partners we can be, but we don't own other people's stuff.
Right, right, right. So so that was the first step, and I felt like I got a massive green light from him, and I went to town. It wasn't like this clean process where we, you know, I did this and then did this and did this. I basically just threw myself into research and tried to figure out how, you know, how do we clean up this current breakdown between us, and sometimes that would lead to a new breakdown or another unhealed topic from our relationship. But basically it was 3 hard working years where we didn't see much improvement, maybe little glimpses for like maybe a month or so, and then during, you know, after the third year, I saw longer glimpses of hope and change in the relationship. And then by year 5, pretty well, like I think that was 8 months of really good connecting and interacting and really feeding into each other's lives and nurturing each other and healing each other and that sort of thing, really being there for each other in a very interdependent way, very life-giving way. And then, you know, something kind of happened. I was like, oh, my gosh, so this has just been a temporary thing. And that's when the last few tools really fell into place. Like, I didn't know about betrayal trauma until we were fairly fully healed. And I was, I left the room that he was in, and I was like, okay, I know he's not jumping over to the computer and trying to get back into porn. I know he's not doing that. Why is my heart beating so hard? Like, I feel like he is. And that's when, you know, the next light bulb came on, and it's like, that's trauma. It's PTSD.
Yeah.
And when I figured that out, it's like, oh, okay, so now I can get treated for that. And but anyway, some of those, the core pieces of what we put first now when we help couples, were like, I'd gather tons of tools, tons of communication tools and next plan tools and how do we conquer this monster tools, by sheer kind of trial and error and just going again. You know, some of those tools would work for a while or for certain situations, but then another situation would take something different. So the process was just kind of getting my hands on whatever tools I could in order to heal the relationship.
And what was it that made you want to do this? Because I know because it's really hard when we're hurting so badly that it's like, yeah, really? I'm going to get back on this horse?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, I really wrestled. I really wrestled with the decision. I mean, I wrestled with the decision to get married to him in the first place. I did always have, like, early on in my personal walk with God, I asked him what was my purpose in life? And I felt him say super clearly, your purpose in life is to have a great marriage and to help others do the same. And that completely resounded with everything within me. I wasn't dating anybody at that time, and I kind of sworn off of dating, so I'm like, yeah, I don't know how that's going to happen. But so here I was thinking, we're going to, you know, I'm going to get married, and it's just going to be wonderful, and it's going to be easy.
Right.
But now I realize I couldn't help anybody with that. It's like, hey, it comes naturally. That's what you do. You can't teach somebody something if it comes naturally. So I kind of had to go through a long period of doing whatever I could, finding tools and stuff, if I was ever going to help people. So that was part of my decision-making process. But also, I knew he wanted something different. I knew he wanted something different for his own life. And so I thought, you know, porn is so prevalent these days. At that point, it was like the survey was 80 to 90% of all guys use it. So I thought, it's so prevalent. At least I have a guy who wants to kick it. And at least I have a guy who I already know, you know, better the devil you know, kind of a thing. So I might as well give this a shot. And if I'm going to, because I'm going to do this work in the future, if most guys have an issue with this, so if I'm going to do this, I might as well not throw away the previous 15 years. I might as well not throw away the family.
Right.
And give this a shot.
Which is a lot of the struggle that the person who's betrayed has, because it's frequently not just them. There's usually family.
Right.
There's other people involved. There's so many decisions about what ending a relationship is, that even when, you know, there's some really strong reasons for doing it, it's still a complicated decision.
Right.
This is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking betrayal and recovery with a betrayal trauma trained certified partner and couples mentor, that's a mouthful, Lori Pyatt. And you know, betrayal is truly one of the worst things that can happen in a marriage. It can feel overwhelming and isolating, but there is help. And if you find yourself in this position, you don't have to go through it alone. I invite you to contact me today and find out what the options are, how to get through this. You can reach me at area code 919-924-0463. Again, that's area code 919-924-0463. Or you can send me an email at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S, coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com. And I want to get back into this really important conversation, because you know, it's really hard to know what to do when this happens. And I mean, and the whole thing, you know, the shock portion of it actually prevents us from thinking too much.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, and just getting through, because I really do believe our brains have a way of, okay, I can only let you handle so much at a time, and right now you just need to shut down, and just like you said, it took you 3 days. So what are, I mean, and you talked about the steps, and one of the things you talked about is having a willing partner, which sometimes can be a challenge, because, you know, there's defensiveness and, you know, not wanting to be seen in a bad light, which is, of course, blame the victim kind of thing. Well, it's your fault. It's like, no, it's not my fault. Like you said before, you might have had ownership in becoming disconnected, but the choice to handle it the way it was handled was completely his.
Right.
But what were, and you said it took 3 years, what were some of the steps that led you guys, that you guys took, that led you back together? I mean, obviously, him being a willing, at least at times, because I do think it kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
It's like, aren't we done with this yet? It's like, no, we're not done with this yet.
Yep.
So what were some of the things you guys did?
Well, I like your wording. What were the steps we took? Our I call it a dance. Our dance steps look, at that point, especially early on, look like one step forward and about five steps back. Again, we're getting to the bottom part of the triangle of damage, and where, you know, I'd have this, okay, let's talk about the porn issue. He would come back defensive, and now we'd have two or three brand new wounds to have to clean up. So, and the first one never got cleaned up. So, it really was about one step forward, four or five steps back. And then it was, at that point, it was just sheer determination. Like, I've got to know I've turned over every stone before I leave, or I'm going to have regrets. So then I'd double up and try to find out, okay, now let's take them one by one. Let's start with the newest, the freshest wound, and try to deal with that. And so that's what it was early on. Over time, when he found that it wasn't me trying to make him look bad, it wasn't me trying to say he was the bad guy in the relationship. It truly was me just saying, no, this hurts so bad. You know, why do you have to make it about you all the time? This is not about you and your image. This is about me and my pain. I need you.
Exactly.
I need you. I need you to understand how much this hurt me, because when you do, maybe then you'll make a different decision when you're faced with that temptation.
Well, and you know, I'm really glad. I'm glad you said that, because that is what I tell the people that I work with, that mm-hmm. when the betrayed person gets that the betrayer really understands the pain that they caused, mm-hmm. that's when the healing really can begin. And it's not
right.
about somebody being a bad person. It's about mm-hmm. somebody having made a bad decision.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, and that's what we do with our work with the guy. It's like, if you can just go, look, these three people, because we work, I work with the female for the first mm-hmm. 3 or 4 months one-on-one, just to stabilize. So we go through the first two phases of the trauma model, mm-hmm. get her stabilized before we ever start trying to rebuild the relationship.
Yes.
Because if women who truly, you know, are in PTSD mode, when you start talking about relationship stuff, she can be further wounded. So she needs to know what her options are, get very, very set in them, get very, very set in her vision, know that she can at least trust herself and her higher power to take care of her. When she knows that she has options and that she's going to keep herself safe, then she can take a little bit more when it gets really hairy, when they start mm-hmm. doing that relationship piece of it. So, but when we get on that where me and my husband are online with the couple, and we start dealing with the breakdowns there, we say, you know, if you can just get to the point of just realizing they believe more highly, the other three here believe more highly of me than I can ever even imagine, or they'd be gone, they wouldn't waste their time on me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just my filter. It's just maybe my own shame, my own feelings of guilt that make me feel like I'm being ganged up on. So if I can mm-hmm. just put that aside and go, yes, I screwed up, and that's why we're here, let's talk about that. Because if I can show her how it's done, if I can show her, look, this is how you own your stuff, this is how you apologize for it, this is how you make it right, then the thing, you know, then he knows, she at least knows how to do it. But what guys don't understand is when a woman's feeling safe and she feels like, okay, he's made it right,
uh-huh.
she will naturally give back to him. She will naturally look at her own stuff. In fact, typically the stuff that women want to look at first is not just the betrayal and the pain, but also, okay, I'm sure I'm doing this wrong, set me straight.
And that's a hard place because as I tell people, it's like, you know, yes, and we've talked about this before, you have ownership in what the relationship looked like, but you don't have ownership in the decision the other person made. And so I don't let people own anything that's not theirs. But But it's really hard because you know, and people want this to be a fast process. And, you know, kind of, and if people are willing to really dig into this, it can be go faster than 3 years, but generally it's a year long process at the very least, just because you have to uncover all of, like you said, there's this issue led to that issue, which I didn't even know existed, and you know, it's like peeling an onion, and it's really hard and it's really scary. But one of the things, and I know that you'll probably agree with this, because if somebody has been traumatized and they don't mm-hmm. Deal with that, then they can leave this relationship, but that trauma
and
is still unresolved.
And the unfortunate thing about trauma is it does kick us into high gear in order, you know, to try to, like, I need to do whatever I can, and that's where I was the first 15 years. I need to do what I can to keep this from happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can
uh-huh.
if I can erase my codependency and keep this pain from happening, oh, I'm going to do that.
Sure.
So, you know, it kicks you into high gear and you start becoming super hypervigilant, like over-functioning on that end, but also hypervigilant for, like, what can go wrong, what if, and, like, I can be in pain here. And so you start picking up, well, you start becoming super on high alert for anything that can go wrong. But the unfortunate thing is you're no longer tuned into your gut, because that's an executive functioning part of the brain. You're no longer in that part of your brain. So you're missing a lot of signs. So even though you may be on high alert, you're going to be missing it because you're out of tune with your own gut instinct. And
right. And this is why it's almost impossible. It's very, very difficult for a couple to heal this on their own. And it's scary to go to a stranger. and that's why it's important to go to somebody who knows. But I mean, years ago I had a client come to me, and in this particular case he had some unresolved issues that had nothing to do with the marriage, and what he did really didn't have anything to do with what was going on in the marriage. It was more personal for him, and that's part of the reason why she was willing to go through the process. But she said, I Googled. She goes, there isn't anything that says what to do if you want to stay. Where do you go if you want to make this work? And, because as a society, we go, once a cheater, always a cheater. And it's like, no, but, and we have all these people, in our heads and sometimes literally in our ears, going, well, you can't trust this person. They hurt you once and they'll do it again. And it's so hard to go against that philosophy, even when I think a lot of people would if they knew that there were people like you and Jay who have been through this. It's, we know. We know there's another side. So so other than calling you and Jay or me, what recommendations do you have for people who are experiencing this really horrible, horrible aspect of their lives?
One of the books I recommend is Your Sexually Addicted Spouse by Dr. Barbara Steffens, Steffens, and Dr. Marcia Means, Means. They literally wrote the book on betrayal trauma. And once you understand it from it's about safety, it's about I don't feel safe, once you understand that, then you can start having a new conversation. Then it goes from being about his actions to about, well, I don't know what's happening, I just don't feel safe, and then we can dive deeper into that. I also recommend,
because it's reestablishing that trust. Yeah.
Right. A lot of patience, because even if the guy does it perfectly, like we call it a overnight success, overnight change. He's a changed person, and he's humble, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to repair the relationship. Even if that happens, she again is going to be on high alert. And she's going to, there's going to be a lot of misunderstandings, there's going to be a lot of miscues, there's going to be a lot of maybe even honest mistakes that's going to appear like old him, and she's going to trigger, and, then it can be really, really messy. So just understand it takes patience, and if you can, find somebody who comes from not just a trauma-informed basis, because the treatment plan is so much different with somebody who sticks to the trauma model.
Because it is trauma.
It is. Yes, it is. Anytime you deal with a lack of safety for in a big way, like a big lack of safety, or anytime you feel it long term, our bodies are designed automatically to go to the fight, flight, freeze. And if we're stopped by that, whether, like you talked about it before, kind of the societal trauma that can happen, it can even happen in the therapist, it can even happen in the helping profession.
Yeah.
I've heard some horror stories coming from the helping, of women who have been told something from the people in the helping profession. I just basically say, you're looking for somebody that's going to go at your pace, that's going to follow your lead and who's very skilled. You know, hopefully they can get you further faster. You have a lot of tools to really get to the heart of it.
But people have to understand it's not going to be healed overnight. It is that process.
No.
Because it's like you were talking about with your husband, where you had this 8-month period where things were really good,
mm-hmm.
and then something happened, and you didn't go all the way back to the beginning, but you went back because it's like, oh my gosh, there it is. And people don't understand. That's a biological thing. That is not...
Absolutely, yeah.
It's not a cognitive thing. It's like, oh, okay. You know, and so these steps backwards are going to happen, and it doesn't necessarily mean there hasn't been any progress, but it's like this mm-hmm. is part of the process of healing, and, you know, and it's... and we have to expect this and recognizing that it is about real change of behavior over time.
Yeah.
So that the partner feels safe again and there's trust again, and I can, you know, the way I liken it is, you know, it's like if you break your arm can heal, but if you x-ray it, you're always going to see the break. It's always kind of going to be there. And
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean, and I also tell people, it's like at some point in time, it has to be forgiven, but that can't happen, not really, until some of this other stuff is taken care of.
Right. Yeah, the scar on the bone that you talked about that you can see on x-ray, you know, my husband now, he'll talk to guys, you know, especially when they first come on,
mm-hmm.
and they will share their story, and it's typically then he's like, Lori, I saw so much of my own self and so much of my old actions in their story. I'm really, really sorry for what I did.
Right.
But I'm able to go, you made it right though. You're no longer that person. You're different now. You don't treat me the same way anymore.
Right. Because he's learned. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's real.
And
it's real.
Mm-hmm. But and there wasn't healing. You know, you said it's not healed overnight. And the term that mm-hmm. came to mind is yes, but there is hope overnight. There
yes.
can be hope, not just in him, but in my own ability to communicate clearly, to learn how to communicate clearly, to communicate in a way that doesn't cause him to go into fight mode.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, that's on him, but we can show up in a way, you know, a gentle answer turns away wrath. If there's an established pattern where it's just the dance, then you know what, you're going to get swept away in your old dance. All it takes is for one person to do something different, to do it a different way. And so that's how I coach her. Okay,
mm-hmm.
what's your normal way of doing it? Okay, let's try it this way.
Exactly.
Because that may be all that's needed to get you guys on a new path until we get to the next roadblock, and then let's do something different there.
Right. And that's empowering, and that's
yes.
also hope-inspiring,
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
I now have...
some
control over this, and that's
yeah.
you know, and again,
mm-hmm.
that's you name it. That's if I do something different and I refuse to go back into the old dance
yep.
can't happen. It's only if
right.
I'm not sure about that. So this has been really
right.
helpful, and I want people to know that, you know, yes, this is an awful, awful experience, but it doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be the end, although it is
right.
a very challenging process. So where could
mm-hmm.
people find out more about you and how to work through all of this?
They can find me at my website. It's called His Porn, Your Pain Heals, or pornpainhealed.com, pornpainhealed.com.
Mm-hmm.
To find out about what my husband does, he helps the guys first. His is at porniskillingme.com, and both together, he and I end up meeting with couples two-on-two and really help them kind of figure out, okay, what are the remaining blocks? What are the remaining blind spots? What are the remaining issues that need to be resolved before you guys can get together get back on the same page and feeling safe? And it doesn't just have to be, okay, this is gone, now we're going back to what you know, as good
exactly.
as it was before. We try to get him to even better. Like, we try to get it to where the guy says, my wife is a better drug than porn.
I love that. But, you know, if you find yourself in the middle of this excruciating pain of betrayal, it can really be hard to imagine feeling better, let alone...
Where the work with... That's part of the bigger heavy lifting I do with women, because mm-hmm. they are caught in that kind of negative mindset of what can go wrong. You know, it is part of the hypervigilance that,
right.
that trauma can bring. It's very
right.
difficult for them to... see something bigger, see a bigger vision. And so I'm like, you know, what was your vision before all this? Let's go off of that and really
right.
have her sink into that and realize, like, sink into it so much. She knows, I am not going to freaking stop until I get that. Now, husband, I hope
right.
you join me, but
yes.
if you don't, I'm still going to be okay.
Right. And that's the other thing.
I'm going to have a great life.
And I like the way you phrased it, that, you know, by going through this process, you realized that you were that you had done everything you could, and then whatever decision
mm-hmm.
gets made after
mm-hmm.
that, there are no regrets. And so I thank you so much for being here and talking about this. And
yeah.
what I want listeners to read, I mean, sorry, to understand, is that you can recover and rebuild your relationship. It's
mm-hmm.
not an easy path like we're talking about today,
no.
but it can be a rewarding one. And mm-hmm. what you have to understand, and I think Lori would agree with me, is you won't have the same marriage, but you can have a better one.
Right. Yep, yep, yep. And who would want that same marriage if that's where
right.
it is?
Right.
You
well,
know,
exactly.
You want something better.
So I invite all of you to keep listening to the show. And until next week, stay loving.